Giving birth to a child, to any child, is a miracle. To all of the mothers out there, you know this intimately well, feeling the life growing inside of you, kicking, squirming, and tossing about. But giving birth to the Son of the Most High, well, that takes this miracle of childbirth to a whole different level. And certainly this morning's birth announcement is like none other. No blue line on a pregnancy test. No sense of excitement or fear or something in between when the usual month's event doesn't cycle through. No rude awakening of morning sickness to jolt you from the possibility to the reality. No, this annunciation is different, life-changingly different, and not just in the way that any baby will change any life, but different in the way that this baby will change everybody's life. Oddly enough, Mary had been waiting for this announcement. She knew that this day would come. Now, of course, she didn't have the foggiest idea that it would come in this way, and certainly she was surprised that it came specifically to her, for she was no different than any other woman that had ever walked the face of the planet. There was nothing special about her, nothing that set her apart to be more worthy to house the infant Lord finitely within her belly. And yes, we do know that she was favored, but she wasn't favored by God because she was better. Instead, it was the grace of God that made her favored. But goodness, that's the way that it always is, isn't it? When it has to do with the ways and workings of our God. We receive his good and merciful gifts only because he is good and merciful. So back to this long-awaited announcement. Mary had been waiting for this, just like every other Israelite, for thousands of years. In fact, this long-for-awaited promise had been the hope and the dream of mankind ever since way back in the Garden of Eden, when God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." From that moment on, the promise was set. The promise was sealed. It was going to come. It was going to come from a woman. The only question was when and through whom. Eve thought that it was Cain, but we all know how well that worked out for her. And Sarah, she chuckled at the thought of foreshadowing the Messiah with Isaac. Hannah, she was barren before she gave birth to Samuel. And Elizabeth, she followed suit when she gave birth to John the Baptist. Yes, the knowledge that the Messiah would be born of a woman was well known and well documented. And the fact that there had been already so many miraculous births in the past probably should have said something about this very special birth in the present. And so I suppose that it would be safe to say that every good Israelite woman wondered at some point in her life whether or not she would be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. But none of these women were silly or foolish. None of them thought that they could be the chosen one without first having a husband. For everyone knows babies only come about in one way. And if you're a virgin, well, to think that you would wake up one day and find yourself pregnant would be a little bit crazy. And Mary, she knows this. She even mentions it to Gabriel. Yes, she was betrothed to Joseph, but betrothed didn't mean married, and so betrothed couldn't mean pregnant, if you get my drift. Maybe the angel meant that in a couple of months, or maybe in a couple years, when the two of them had finally tied the knot, she would be favored enough to have this divine privilege of housing the Christ, but not yet, not today. But no, the angel says that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and she will conceive in her womb and bear a son. She is going to be pregnant this very day, and no man is going to have anything to do with that. Now, perhaps she should have remembered the words that Isaiah speaks, that we get to hear tonight when he prophesies, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But who among us would remember a thing like that at a time like this? And so the Holy Spirit reminds her, just like he reminds us, that the birth of the Christ child is going to be like nothing that's ever been seen before or seen again. And this shouldn't surprise us. For God's saving ways are not our saving ways. He's not going to do things in the way in which we would imagine. In fact, that's the thing about the gospel. It doesn't quite make sense. It can't quite make sense. By definition, it has to be something out of left field that none of us would ever expect. For who expects mercy in the face of sin? And who expects life when staring at the grave? And who expects salvation when the shackles of slavery are tightly bound around our wrists? Mary is told by the angel not to be afraid. And he does this early on in the conversation, I think probably for two reasons. First, because she's standing in the presence of an angel. And an angel is a messenger from God, which means she, this sinner, is standing in the presence of something that's holy. And sinners can't do this. But also, the angel is about to give her some pretty wild news that's going to be pretty baffling to her. News that's going to change her life. News that's going to be quite difficult for her to explain to this fiancé of hers. And so yes, Mary is afraid. And why wouldn't she be? Who among us would fare any better? I know that I wouldn't. We have the same words spoken to us. These words, fear not. But those are just words, after all, and sometimes words can't change our feelings, especially when those feelings are as strong as fear. So let us think about that emotion just for a moment and what it really means. One is afraid when one is in danger. One is afraid when one's life is in jeopardy, when something can hurt you and harm you. That's why we cover our eyes and our ears at the scary parts in movies. That's why we jump up in bed when we hear that loud thud in the middle of the night. That's why we hide the bad test grade from our parents and hide the lie from our spouses and maybe even hide the truth from ourselves. That's why we dread that surgery or going off to war or having to grow up and make decisions that will actually affect the rest of our lives. Fear is that emotion that creeps up inside of us when we know that we're helpless and can do nothing to fix the silly mess that we've gotten ourselves into. But there's even more to it than that. For the fear that every single sinner has when he stands before God is that he is a sinner and God is perfect, which means that because of our sin, we have separated ourselves from the one who has created us, telling him that we can go it alone when deep down inside we know that we can't. And the fallen sinner stands in his sin, knowing that there's nothing that he can do to wipe away that guilt and that shame. And the fallen sinner stares into the grave, knowing that there's nothing that he can do to keep him from entering into it one day, and knowing that there's nothing that he can do to climb out of it once he's locked inside. And the fallen sinner hears the words of the demon whispering their awful truths into his ears, knowing that he deserves everything that they tell him, that full and weighty wrath of God. And so into this fear, into this place of total and utter terror, the angel Gabriel speaks God's words of comfort and peace. Do not be afraid, Mary, or Rick, or Stephen, or Sally, or Kendra. In fact, just right now, hear the words of the angel of God spoken with your name in place of Mary's as you sit there in fear of what the future will bring you, of what the past has already done to you, of the mess that your sins have made and created. The angel, and therefore God, says to you, do not be afraid. Now I know. But those are just words. And like I said, sometimes words aren't enough to quench our fears, even if they are the words of God Almighty. And so our Lord doesn't leave us only with these words. No, he then tells us exactly how these words are going to accomplish what they say. For Mary will conceive in her womb and bear a son. She shall call his name Jesus. Now, names mean something. At least back then they did. And so Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. Did you hear that? God saves. And he doesn't just save. He saves you. In that little bundle of joy that Mary has floating down her fallopian tube this morning, that you will swaddle up and sweetly place in the manger this evening is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God doesn't save in celestial ways that are invisible to our temporal eyes, but he saves in terrestrial ones, in bodily ways. He saves by taking on your flesh, every ounce of it, from embryo to infant, to toddler, to adolescent, to teenager, to adult. He saves by doing for you what his law demands, what your fallen flesh could never hope to fulfill. He saves by taking on your sin as the sinless Lamb of God. He saves by bearing the weight of the world, the guilt of all mankind, the shame of your deepest, darkest failures, and nailing all of them to the cross. And he saves by sanctifying the grave, bursting out of it once again in order to pull you from the icy grips of death after you breathe your last. He saves on this Annunciation Day, on tonight's Christmas Eve, on tomorrow's Christmas morning, because all of these point to Good Friday's cross and Holy Saturday's graveyard and Easter Sunday's empty tomb. And so this morning, we are not afraid. Even though sometimes we still are. Because God has become man, has become what he promised, and has already accomplished for you what he said he would. And so in the face of our sin, we receive Christ's forgiveness. And in the face of the demons, we rejoice that God is Emmanuel, God with us. In the face of the grave, we peacefully go into the ground, not kicking and screaming, but with a faith that because his tomb is empty, so too will ours be. This is what the Annunciation of the Incarnation is all about. So let me once again speak God's word to you frightened little sinners. Do not be afraid, for in Christ you have found favor with God. In the name of Jesus.